I'm going to share with you this evening my thoughts on Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaAtzmaut, and these two matters and many others relating to the State of Israel have been on my mind for most of my life, and so I've had a fair number of years to reflect on these matters. And I'll begin with Yom HaZikaron LaShoah VeLaGvura, which was last week. And then I'll proceed to Yom HaZikaron of Tzahal, of Israeli soldiers who died al Kiddush Hashem, defending the State of Israel. And then we'll proceed, hopefully, to Yom HaTzmaut. When I was a very young man, approximately 8 or 9 years old, I lived in a borough of New York City called the Bronx. You may not have heard of the Bronx. I used to call it the Bronx, Olivah Shalom, New York. But it's underwent a revival the last number of years because there's nowhere else to live in New York City. And so many people have now moved back to the Bronx. But I was zochet to be close to a Rav, whose name was Rav Kisiel Fuchs, Zechatzal Debracha, who went through the Holocaust, lost his wife and entire family in the Holocaust, were killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam Bezichram. And he was, on Yom HaShoah, he became incredibly, very emotional, and would take me to a Reformed temple. You're aware there's Orthodox, Conservative, Reformed. He didn't enter the Reformed temple, but only the Reformed temple somehow felt the need to memorialize those millions of Jews who were killed in the Shoah. I'm talking about this in the late 50s, and I accompanied him. And we stayed outside. It was piped actually outside the tekes, the memorial ceremony, and he was literally crying uncontrollably. This I remember as a young child, way before my bar mitzvah. And this happened for a number of years. And that was my introduction to Yom HaZikaron, and he always told me, why is the Orthodox Jewish community not somehow recognizing, not acknowledging what happened in the Shoah? So I was too young to really have any understanding of what happened in the Shoah. But years later, I came to the conclusion that it was too close. We're talking about only a few years after the event, monumental events that occurred, and something that was a need for recollection and careful reflection. And that's why there were no formal celebrations. Several decades later, you probably are aware that there were a number of keynote, Kuf Yud Nun Vav Tov, lamentations, dirges that were put together by a number of great Gedolei Yisrael. My Rebbe Yehuda Soloveitchik Zatzal contended that to have Yom HaShoah and Chodesh Nisan, which is what the Israeli government did many years ago, is not appropriate. Because you can't say Kel Molei in Chodesh Nisan. There are halachic restrictions that prevent us really from having a full-fledged Yom HaShoah. And really Tisha B'Av is the day that memorializes all Jewish tragedy. And that's based on a Rashi in Divrayomim. And it's also based on a number of statements that we see in Chazal. But there's no question that Yom HaShoah, we heard last week from this unbelievable Shoah survivor, Rabbi Yossi Lukowicz. I was astounded by him. He's but a mere 95. His lucidity, his clarity. Halavai, I should have that at my present age. I was absolutely in a mind-boggling state. I haven't recovered from what I assume most of you guys were here. If I'm not mistaken, I was sitting over here. And he was over here. Astounding. And not only that, the lessons that he was trying to impart, someone who asked, I forgot already who asked the question, and his response was, what should you do? Get an education. Daf steigen, if I recall correctly. I was astounded. A man who came out had no yeshiva education in his entire life, wandered through many countries. By the way, he speaks about 8 or 9 languages, all the countries that he meandered, that he wandered about. So now, going from there to the Yom HaZikaron, which is Wednesday night, Wednesday, and I'm going to share with you the following that I heard from Hagoyin of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal myself. In the 70s, early 70s, I studied in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and I think I already recorded and told this already a number of times, but many of you may not have heard it. So after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, before Sukkot, I didn't know whether I'm going to observe Yom Tov Sheni or not. I was a very young man studying in the yeshiva called Itri in Eretz Yisrael. And so they told me, go speak to one of the great rabbis. I didn't have a clue who he was. Avshom Zalman Oyebach Zatzal. You need a chair? You have an extra one here?
Chairs in the back.
No, there are chairs? Okay. And he told me to speak to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I didn't know whom he was. And I went to his house, actually, in Rechavia, near Yerushalayim. I knocked on the door, and a very distinguished-looking gentleman answered the door with a white beard and a long black coat. I said, Haim ze abayit shel Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Is this the house of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? So he said, Abba v'ima, currently Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So he answered. My father and mother called me Shlomo Zalman with a massive smile on his face. I said, Abel Ani Mechapes, Harav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Silly Billy that I am. So he told me, Gamkein Karim Li Rav. They call me Rama with this massive smile, just like yours. Anyway, which you have, Baruch Hashem, an infectious one. Kol Yom Kala. You want to, he speaks to a briska, he wants to make a briska happy. So that's not an easy, it's a challenging job. Anyway, so I go in. And I spoke to him, I hacked him a chaynik, that's a Yiddish expression. I made him crazy with my silly questions for about an hour and a half. After an hour and a half, I think I told the story over, I'll say it over again quickly. In the middle of the conversation, I got hungry. You know, like an American guy, we're always hungry. Ragalach, etc. I asked him, do you have some chocolate ragalach? Would you believe this? I didn't know who he was. Honestly, I didn't know who he was. He's the Gadol Hador. But I thought he was a nice rabbi, looked very distinguished. He says to me, what kind of ragalach? I says, chocolate ragalach. So I don't know if I have. And my Rebbetzin is not here. She walked out. Let me see. He goes into the kitchen. The Gadol Hador. And finds me chocolate ragalach. He brings me back a plate of chocolate ragalach. I was delighted. I made a bracha right in front of him. I ate the ragalach right in front of him. Did I have any seichel left in me? Zero. After a while, I asked him a few more questions, and I tell him, you know, I'm thirsty. I told him, ragalach. So he says, what do you like? Hot tea with lemon and sugar. So he says, I can make you hot tea, but lemon, I don't think I have. I said, I'll tell you what, he says to me. I'll make you hot tea, I'll go next door to my neighbor to get some lemon. He then proceeds to make me hot tea and goes next door to his neighbor to bring lemon. I thought, this is, of course, natural. This is what, obviously, rabbis do for everybody, for this, how shall I call myself? Silly Billy. Let's just be polite. I remember I went back to the yeshiva. I told the Rashi Yeshiva, some of the rabbeim there, what I did. Two of them fainted on the spot. The third one told me I should be institutionalized. The fourth one indicated that I need six psychiatrists to help me. Anyway, but I asked Rav Shlomo Zalman at the end of the conversation, can I come back anytime I want? He said, yeah. I said, when is he available? So he told me the day. And on a weekly basis, I came back for a year and a half. Every single week, I came to Rav Shlomo Zalman. And then I began to realize, wow, he knows the answers to all my questions. He's obviously not just a simple rabbi. And then people told me, like, he's the Gadol Hador, you know. But how was I supposed to know? I'm not as smart as you. Is it my fault? Oh boy. He says it's my fault. Okay. So I want to tell you what I heard from Avshalom Zalman Auerbach. Among the many things I heard from him. And this was confirmed by Rabbi Nevin Sol Shlita, who's his Talmud Muvok in the Old City. And I also heard the same thing in the beginning of the middle of 2000. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, I'm here 25 years. I wanted to go and be in a position to help marry people off, be Masada Kedushin if necessary. So I had to go to the chief rabbinic. At that time, the chief rabbi was Rabbi Lau. Not the present Rabbi Lau. His father was the chief rabbi. Rabbi Saul Meir Lau. Not Rabbi Dov Lau. Both of them should have Arichas Yom B'Shonim. So I went to Rabbi Lau, and I told him I came from America, and I would like to be able to be authorized to be Masada Kedushin. So he told me, well, you'll have to take the Bechinas, the Yeridea. Go to the Grus Kollel. Except there was no Grus Kollel when I was here. I was here in 1971, 72. Grus Kollel was non-existent. There was only one person that was around. And I used to meet him all the time. His name was Hagoyim of David Miller, who later became the Rosh Kotel of the Gus Kotel. I know him for years. His brother was a classmate of mine, Michael Miller, from Teaneck, New Jersey. Okay, make a long story short. So among the things that Rabbi Lau told me was the following story, which just confirmed that I heard from Avshalom Zalman myself. And I'll present it to you in the following way. The Rabbi Lau told me the story in the following way. Every day someone would drive Avshalom Zalman from his home. He lived right here in Shari Chesed. He went to Kol Torah. Kol Torah is in Beit Vegan. There's Yeshiva Kol Torah. Yeshiva, Beit Vegan, Israel. Excellent. We're making progress. Anyway, so every day someone would drive Avshalom Zalman from his home in Shari Chesed to the Yeshiva Beit Vegan. And the rabbi would occasionally ask the driver to pull up for a few moments outside Har Herzl, the burial place where many, many wonderful Chayalei Tzal are buried, and he would recite Tehillim. So why? Why did he do that? So a Talmud once approached Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and asked him, he needs time out, why? So I can go up north to Tzfat to pray at Kibbutz Tzadikim. I can pray at the graves of the great tzaddikim. So Rav Shlomo Zalman looked perplexed, but didn't immediately answer. And the student saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman was hesitating. He didn't respond to him. So he said, I have some personal issues I want to think through, and I feel that maybe if I go to Kibbutz Tzaddikim, that will be helpful. I'll be able to daven to the tzaddikim, not to the tzaddikim. You don't daven to the dead. That's a pasuk in Chumash. V'dorish ha'amesim, that's an isur in the Torah. But I will ask them that in their schuyot, they have many, many schuyot, many, many merits, so hopefully in their merits I'll be able to resolve my issues, my personal issues. So Shlomo Zalman right away responded to this Talmid, I understand very much what you want to do, but I don't understand why do you have to travel so many hours to pray in Kibbutz Tzadikim right here in Har Herzl are Tzadikim. Soldiers who fought for the State of Israel, who died, Al Kiddush Hashem, you can come here. And there's no need to travel many hours all the way up north. I heard this from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach myself. Rabbi Nebenzahl confirmed it. When I asked him a number of times if this is what he heard from his Rebbe, he's a Talmud Muvok of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And Rabbi Lau, she bought the Chaim Arukim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv twice, and the former chief rabbi of the State of Israel, and whose son is now the chief rabbi of the State of Israel, also confirmed this story. These are holy individuals who gave up their lives. And I want to tell you another story. This story I heard in 1971. I used to go to the Shmuzin of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. You may have heard of him. The Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva. Shmuzin were in Yiddish, but I grew up on Yiddish. I don't have a problem with it. And one Erev Yom Kippur, a day or two before Yom Kippur, he said a Shmuz, a Sicha in the Yeshiva. And then he said the following. He was at the Kaisel Amarovi before Yom Kippur, asking Davin Tashem. And he met a chayal, and he decided, a chayal was clearly a chiloni, a secular chayal, not an observant chayal, not a frum chayal. He goes over to the chayal, and he hugs him. And the chayal was taken aback. What is this, pardon the expression, what is this black fellow hugging me for? I use the expression advisedly, referring to Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Black meaning very frum. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said to his chayal, if not for you, Yeshivat Mir lo yichola lachzik ma'amad po be'eretz Yisrael. The Mir Yeshiva could not flourish and survive and prosper in this country. It's Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Unless he was makir tov to the chayal. Of course, the next day, the briskers put Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in chayal. Understandable. I'm just being cute now. But it's true. Both. Rav Chaim and the briskers. I assume some of you are familiar with briskets. Maybe some of you even eat brisket for supper. Okay. Yom HaZikaron has an unbelievable, according to my mind, Jewish soldiers, and came out every shul I've been a rav in, and I'm an Eretz Yisrael, a rav, came out 25 years, I'm a rav in my life 47 years, rabbi in synagogue, if I can use such an expression. I'm very into Chayalei Tzal, and feel the need to support them, to sustain them, to do whatever I can to help them, to raise money for them. And there are many occasions where in my different shuls that I've been a rabbi in, we have actually engaged in all kinds of projects to help Chayalei Tzal. We're very into that. So that's a statement regarding the first two issues. And now I want to come to the main issue, which is the issue of Yom HaTzmut. But before that, I just want to read a medrash to you that I'm very fond of. Very striking medrash. I think I have it. Medrash says, the medrash in Tehillim, medrash Shochat Tov. A father and son are walking on the road. They're walking. I imagine like the hikes, like the Shiva ducks that take you on. You know, they take you on these hikes that basically go on forever. They're just trying to basically get rid of you on the one hand. On the other hand, tire you out, knock you out. And basically, sometimes, who knows what they have in mind. But anyway, so the son, gets very, he's simply drained of energy, enervated. Where are we going? Where's the Medina? Amar lo bini, simen zeh yehi biyadecha, im ra'isa be'sakvara sefanecha, hari ha'medina krov lecha. If you see a cemetery nearby, then the Medina, the city, the country, is not far away. Whenever I hear this medrash, I start shaking. The state of Israel was founded upon, unfortunately, many, many Jews who gave up their lives. But Mesa Nefesh, Al Kiddush Hashem, they died to establish the country, to create the state. And I heard already many, many years ago, I used to go when I was a teenager to the shmuzin of one of the Rashi Yeshiva, one of the greatest Rashi Yeshiva of our generation. Some of you may have heard of him. Hagoyin Rav Avraham HaKohen Pam Zatzal, the Shiva of Torah Das. I was 13, 14 years old. And my father, Olam HaShalom, clearly wanted to get rid of me on Friday. I had no school on Friday. I went to MTA. Anyone know MTA here? MTA, I'm a proud graduate of MTA. Proud graduate of Shea University. Excellent. Baruch Hashem, you want to have more than that in common? What? Okay. You're probably a successful graduate of YU. I don't know if I'm that. But anyway, though, so MTA had no school on Friday. You still have no school on Friday? But we had school on Sunday. You had school on Sunday? We had school until 20 to 4. 3:40 p.m. Sunday. What are they off their rockers? They got some screws loose.
I missed like three Sundays.
Don't worry. So I went to the shiurim on Sunday. Three? So I'm sure you missed all three. Only three you missed?
I missed.
Baruch Hashem, you're a good man. Anyway, so I didn't miss anything. I only missed the afternoon sections. Why? Because I held that you should not have secular studies on Sunday. Pasha. It was against my religion. I was in favor of the shiurim, of the learning in the morning. I went to the shiurim, certainly. But in the afternoon, I appeared either in Giant Stadium or Yankee Stadium or one of the stadiums. So I was in good attendance. Anyway, so on Friday, there was no school. So my father didn't know what to do with me. So he told me there's a rabbi in Brooklyn, Yeshiva Torah Das in Williamsburg. That time it was in Williamsburg, the Yeshiva Torah Das. And he gives the shmuzin, he gives sichot. I think you should go. So I went on the train from the Bronx to Brooklyn. You know what it's like? 2 hours. My father, Hashem, was also trying to get rid of me. I don't blame him. I'm a middle child. You know what a middle child means? Full of rebelliousness. I still have a fair number of it, a little bit of it left in me. Those who know my brother, Abaron David, forget about it. Tzadik Yisrael, I'm surrounded by tzadikim. But thank God there's at least one like me, just to make, shall we say, do. You know, parents have to have a little bit of what they call. What is it called, parents raising children? What is it called? They have to have a little? A little. So I'm the one to provide that. That's my job. Someone's got to do it. There's an agency called the Jewish Agency, the Sochnut. You know, we want to make Aliyah. Thank God there's now Nefesh B'Nefesh to help us make Aliyah. But the Sochnut, and they only know one Gemara in all Shas. What Gemara do they know? Eretz Yisrael nicknames be Yisurin. Eretz Yisrael is only acquired by what? How do you translate Yisurin? Tsaris, and make life difficult for you. They are completely non-observant. No Shmir, Shabbos, no Mitzvahs, no Talmud Torah, no nothing. Except for that Gemara they know. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, so my father sent me on Fridays. I was 2 hours traveling. Then I would go to the Shavuos. I'm 13, 14 years old. He's speaking to Abrechim in the Kollel. What, in their 20s, late 20s, 30s. He puts me right in front of him, like where you're sitting, without the technology. And I went for 7, 8 years. I was absolutely blown away by this man. Blown away. Beautiful tzaddik. A goon Shein Kamo. That I wouldn't know, because I was a goon. He was a goon. But whatever the case is, I knew the man was clearly incredibly knowledgeable, unbelievable, and a lot of tzidkis to him, all this righteousness. And He had a massive influence in my life. Anyway, why am I telling you this? So he said, when the Balfour Declaration came out, the Chafetz Chaim was already aware, this is way before the State of Israel was founded, you're aware, and he said that the Chafetz Chaim said about the Balfour Declaration, which more or less gave us the right to set up an independent country, an autonomous sovereign country, sovereign nation, but he said, the Chafetz Chaim, that in Yiddish, I'll translate, that this is a Weisse Papier mit Schwarze Tzoras, a white paper with black tzoras. He saw already, it's not going to be so simple, the State of Israel. I imagine by now you're aware the State of Israel is no simple place. That's the understatement of the year. The complexity here is absolutely wondrous. And Ben Litov, Ben Lamutov has pluses and minuses. It's like, but there's nothing like the State of Israel. And I want to talk about why I consider it to be the basis for Yom HaTzmaut is Hakara Satov. Gratitude to the country that I live in. Gratitude to the soldiers who Hashem should protect every single one of them. Gratitude to those who gave up their lives al Kiddush Hashem, that we should be able to live in Eretz Yisrael. That we should be able to learn, study in Eretz Yisrael. But I want to begin the story of Hakaras HaTov with a story about Rabbi Cook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. By the way, Rav Cook, the first chief rabbi. Should I give you a chair, Ari? You sure you're good? Okay, he's from England, so he's good. Anyway, so they're proper. They're very proper over there. Are they not? Anyway, don't mind me. Oh, thank you. Shekach. It's not right that everyone should sit and you should stand. What is that? You know, I once went to the Mashkiach of Ponovich, Avchatzka Levenstein, in 1971. And I was standing in front of him. And he was a frightening person. I can tell you stories about him too, but not now. That's not on the topic. And after about 10 minutes, he said to me, Zetzer Chavek, why don't you sit down? I was embarrassed and I was afraid. I was frightened about him to sit down in front of him. So he saw that I was standing, so he stands up himself. So I quickly sat down. He was a man, he was an older man. So Rav Kook, the chief rabbi, the first chief rabbi of the State of Israel, Rav Avram Yitzchak Cohen Cook. You must read, there's a book called, in English, I think some of you, I don't know if any of you still read English. I imagine one or two. Do you ever read any books? Except for Ramban al HaTorah and Tetzis and Psochim, but other, you ever read an English book? Yeah. Oh, Baruch Hashem, there's hope for humanity. So Rabbi Cook, when he was a Rav in Europe before making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, he spent times in the summer on the Baltic Sea coast in Latvia. That was the custom of many European rabbis. And there was a hall they used to make there, Minyanim. And so one of the great Gdolei Ador, Rav Reuven Benges, he became later on one of the Gdolim in Eretz Yisrael. So he happened to be there one evening, and he had Yartzeit. Yartzeit means it was Askara. And there were only 9 people actually in the hall. So one of the people in the hall went outside looking for a 10th Jew for a minyan for Rav Reuven Benges' Yartzeit. But outside there was another fellow who was also trying to form a minyan. He had an exact minyan. He had literally 10 people. That's what he had outside. So the person for the hall didn't realize this and pulled one person from the outside into the hall for the inside minyan. Now it was all unintentional. But the person who organized the minyan outside stormed into the hall and started yelling at Rav Benges. And he literally started insulting him because he basically took his minyan away. He had a minyan, and now he no longer had a minyan. So Rav Kook, who was known for his Avat Yisrael, he was Mole Ahava, loved every single Jew. He went to that person who was berating Rav Benges, and he smacked him across the face. Because the Gemara says, you embarrass the Talmud Chacham, and Rav Benges was one of the Dolei Ador. Don't ever, God forbid, embarrass the Talmud Chacham. Chas v'sholem. Don't embarrass anyone. Forget about a Talmud Chacham. Any Jew should not be embarrassed. Rachmanu Litzlan. The slap person got so angry at Rav Kook, he said, I'm going to take you to a secular court. I'm going to sue you for assault and battery, essentially. And there was a major commotion developed. A number of people asked Rav Kook, please apologize. Please apologize. They don't want to bring it to a secular court in Europe among non-Jews. Rav Kook refused. He said, if it was my own COVID, I would apologize. But covet HaTorah? That's what's involved over here. The covet of the ones who do the Ador. I can't be Meichel. That's a Din in Shulchan Aruch. That's a Gemara. A Gemara in Kedushin. A Rambam. A Din Shalach. All the poskim. Bring it down to Halacha. And I'm not sorry I smacked him. I had to stand up for the honor of Rav Bengis. I had no choice. A few days passed. That fellow had a change of heart. And he came to Rav Kook. And he apologized. I'm not going to take you to court. And similarly, that was the end of the story. Years later, Rav Kook came once to America. Rav Kook was actually caught outside of Eretz Yisrael during the war. He was stuck in London. Anyway, he came once to America, Rav Kook Zatzal, and he meets that person whom he had slapped earlier many, many decades ago. And he meets him, and that person tells Rav Kook, I can't thank you enough. I owe you an incredible debt of gratitude. Ahakarat HaTov. And then proceeds to take out a gold watch and wants to give Rav Kook a gold watch. Rav Kook said, what? What is going on here? So he said that after Rav Kook smacked him, slapped him, life became miserable for him. Because you can imagine, he became known as, what was his name? That's the Jew who insulted Rav Bengis. That's what he became known as. He had to leave the country. He left Europe, went to America, became a multimillionaire. And all of this was due to what? The slap of Rav Kook Zatzal. And he felt I owed him. What a story. So I maintain that there are parts of the state of Israel that any one of us who are, all of us, observant, wonderful observant Jews, I have a room in front of me of outstanding B'nai Torah, budding B'nai Torah, all to become Talmidei Chachamim, Yis Hashem. Not overnight, but take a little bit. To quote my one of my rabbeim over here, Harav Laat Laat Ifra. That's his middle name, Laat Laat. Little by little. It's a process, and it will happen, Yis Hashem. We owe Hakaras HaTov to the state of Israel. Ben Latov, Ben Lamutov. There are elements of it that are not desirable. As you may or may not be aware, we just had a fourth election in 2 years, and I suspect we're going to have a fifth election in another few months. I have a grandson who loves these elections. I can't understand why he loves these elections.
Free busing.
Number one, free busing. Number two, he works in the election booths. He's making a fortune. He wants to have an election every few months. He's made thousands of shekels, thousands, working in the election booths. So why not? So now let's get to Yom HaTzmaut. Essentially, I've been studying the matter for the last many decades. And there are a number of different reactions to Yom HaTzmaut. One is, hey, ER, that's the most important day in the Jewish calendar. Did you know that? It's more kadosh than Yom HaKippurim. I hope you're aware of that. Are you aware of that? I love those eyes. Maybe you'll do another performance. That's one approach. And as far as that approach is concerned, it overshadows everything else that you do. You're not a non-observant Jew, but if you observe Hey Yir, that's it. Straight to Gan Eden! In 1971, I come to Israel, and I decided Yom HaTzmaut to see what's going on. I'm interested in seeing what's happening. I walk into Rehov Yafo. Maybe you probably don't even know where Rehov Yafo is. You've been in lockdown. Masmidim Shein Kamo the whole year. I never met such a bunch of Masmidim. Wow. About the only plus of Corona that I know of. That there was a lockdown in the yeshiva and people got into learning. Isn't that wacky? Isn't that crazy? So I'm walking on Rehov Yafo and I see hundreds and hundreds of people holding on to these plastic hammers, all colors, orange, red, yellow, and banging each other over the head. Someone's about to approach me to bang you over the head with the patish. Let me tell you, you don't start up with me. I'm a New Yorker. There's no nonsense. I also have a brown belt in karate that you don't know about. And if you start up with me, I will pull out your kishkas. The guy's about to bang me over the head with the plastic, And I said to myself, I see everyone banging each other over the head. So he sees that look in my face. Right away, he recoiled. And then later on, I said, what is going on here? What's with these people? What is the nature of their ailment? So I asked Hagori Rav Yehuda Kupman Zatzal, the head of the Michlala, who passed away a number of years ago. I was very friendly with him. What is this? So he told me, this is the way they celebrate Yom HaSmut. I said, by banging people over the head with plastic hammers? Yeah. So I said, what do you think of that? He said, some screws are loose. But the etzem idea of Hakar Satov, the Chazdei Hashem, a Yom Hador, that's a good thing. Kach Shamati Mipip Kotcho in 1971. So there are those who think that Hey Year is the day of the year, there's no other day, etc., etc. Depending on the neighborhood, the shul, if you don't say Hallel Yom HaTzvot, then you are a kofer. If you don't wear blue pants and a white shirt, you are a kofer. If you don't have a suyas mitzvah, a mango, a barbecue, you're a kofer. And if you basically are not part of that group, you may as well not bother trying to please God. Forget about it. You missed the boat. What can we do? You're going to go straight downstairs to Hades. No amount of Torah, of Chesed, of Mesirah Nefesh is going to make up for that. You don't have a whit of a chance. Not a scintilla. That's one approach. What's the other approach? What? Today we say Tachanun. Today we say Kinos. It's Tisha B'Av. We have Avelus. We dress in black. I have actually here, I don't know where it is now, in my files. Chaval, I didn't bring it. We tear Kriya. There it is. Minhag HaKanaim. We fast the entire day. We say, Anenu Shomei Tefillah. If you don't have Kabon and the Birchat Aminim against those Tzienim, Yemach Shemam, you're not Yetzi, you have to Chazal Shmaresu again. We sit on the ground, like we do on Tisha B'Av, on the terrible Chilul Hashem that occurred that the State of Israel was founded. We burn the flags of the State of Israel. We dump all the green dragons. You know the green dragons? Those Pachei Zevel. The garbage cans, okay, you know, everything's green over here. Anybody get past that? We dump them and we burn everything in sight and we sing the following. I'm losing it actually. The Torah is our life and we are Meshubah to the Torah. Bishil Torin HaKofrim Einonu Ma'aminim. We don't believe in the rule of these Kofrim. We don't believe them. We're going to be Mekadoshim Shamayim. That's an approach. Another approach. And then, let's call this a third approach, if I may. I just presented two extremes. The third approach is, what? Today is Hey Year? What, it's on my calendar? There's something called Hey Year? Oh, the wrong thing. I have it inside there. Why would someone get all excited about Hey Year? The State of Israel simply is. There's also a miracle of kosher parva bacon bits. So what? Do we get excited about it? That's based on a Gemara in Chulin. That Yalta, she said that whatever non-kosher item there is something kosher parallel to it, so don't worry. You can always find something kosher parallel to something non-kosher. I forgot, someone told me that Baal Tshuva, he told me that it was very hard for him to become a Baal Tshuva. I said, what was the problem? He said, Rabbi, you don't have a clue what cheeseburgers are all about. I love cheeseburgers. That's what he told me. So I said, what? Becoming a Baal Tshuva was totally on the cheeseburgers? He said, yeah. Wow. So, I presented two extremes. Then I presented the third approach that, what is it? We never heard of it. Some people living here think they're living in Borough Park. Or in Flatbush. Nebuch. I think there's a fourth approach, which is the one I've adopted in my life, which is the one I'm going to discuss with you. Unfortunately, the clock is against me. I'll start with the Ramban. There's a Ramban who writes in Shir HaShirim, mind-boggling Ramban. I'm not going to quote the whole thing because it'll take time. I'll also translate it into English. I won't read the Hebrew. Ramban writes that the beginning of the future redemption will be by receiving permission from the governments of the world to return to the land of Israel. And with their help, there will be Kibbutz Goliot, an ingathering of exiles. When did the Ramban live? How many years ago?
A while ago,
that is correct. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So we're not talking about the imagination of some wild-eyed, gun-toting religious nationalist. A quote from the Ramban. The Navi speaks about Od Yishama Be'ar Yehuda V'chutzas Yerushalayim. Many people sing this at weddings. Kol Sason V'kol Simcha, Kol Chasid V'kol Kala, Kol Omrim Hodos Hashem Tzvokos. And Baruch Hashem, as you know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you probably are familiar with it. Eretz Yisrael in the last 73 years has prospered and flourished. It is beyond belief. The efflorescence, that's an English word. The hatzlach of Eretz Yisrael, the siksug of Eretz Yisrael, mind-boggling. Is Ramban in Chumash, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was very fond of my Rebbe. Ramban says that as long as Klal Yisrael is not living in Eretz Yisrael and is not on its land, the land's going to be Shamein. Pasuk in Chumash. You're familiar with that, Ramban? I hope. He loves to smile at me. Outstanding young man. Like all of you. Isn't that amazing? So till Klal Yisrael came back to Eretz Yisrael, how many years ago? Approximately a little bit before 73 years ago. But 73 years ago, the state was founded. Do you know what's going on here? Do you see the building, the construction that's taking place in this country? Do you see the prosperity, the flourishing of the country? Mind-boggling. The Torah is Divrei Nevuah. And the one who explained is the Ramban. In the most beautiful fashion. Ein l'chol keitz megula mizeh. Lashon l'gemaran tzahed. The incredible siksuk prosperity of Eretz Yisrael. I'm not now, I don't have time to go through a halachic discussion of what to do on Yom HaTzmaut. That needs a few hundred hours. Examining sugyas in Shas relating to Hallel, my minhag has been to say Chatzi Hallel, what the yeshiva does here, what the kollel does, Hagoyin of David Miller Shlita. That's what I've been doing. But I'll tell you how they came from. It came from my father's Atzal. My father told me that when the state was established in 1949, my father was in a state of unbelievable joy. My father never went to yeshiva a day in his life. My mother also. They were never zochah to day yeshiva, day in their lives. But my father felt that history was in the making. When the state was founded, he was in such a state of simcha. My father told me on the spot, he said Hallel without a bracha. My father was an observant Jew. He was very careful about brachot. Very, very careful. And because he wasn't sure about Hallel Shalom, he said Chatzi Hallel. And he continued doing that. And that Rav that I spoke about, Rav Kasil Fuchs, also said Chatzi Hallel. The man who went through the Holocaust, lost his wife and children, was able to remarry in the United States. He married a woman who I think was 25 years younger than he was. I suspect so. And they had one son, who Baruch Hashem was zochet to children. So once again, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. The destiny of the Jewish people continued. He also felt the need to say Chatzi Hallel without a bracha on Yom HaTzmaut. And trust me, he was not, what do you call him? A tzieni. He went through the horrors of the Holocaust. He was even in Siberia. One of his legs was shorter than the other. He was tortured by the Nazis and his family was killed, decimated, completely wiped out. And he felt the need. Hakara Sato for Chazdei Hashem. He saw this as an act of incredible chesed. So, what is the fourth approach? You can't ignore what is happening in Jewish history. The state of Israel, to my mind, I have notes from Rabbi Soloveitchik from 1968. I was sitting in the shir. I was not registered. I'm sorry. I went to a lot of shirim that wasn't registered and didn't bother me kihuza. But Avraham Lichtenstein, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, whose yahrzeit is tonight, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, was my Rebbe in the late 60s. He used to go to the Rav Shir at the same time. He said the Shir. his shir, and then at a different time of salvation, they went to his father in law shir. So I just accompanied him. Why not? You know what they say in Hebrew? Litvos tremp. You know what tremp is in the Eretz Yisrael? Litvos tremp. How do you translate that, Rafi? Hitchhike. So I hitchhiked with him to the Rav Shir. So I started going to the Rav Shir at a very young age. I was not Royal Lekach. I didn't know what the Rav was talking about. I didn't have a clue. But the Rav said that the most monumental event in the last 100 years is the founding of the State of Israel. But he was a halachist, a great halachist, one of the Doli Ador. He was not so quick to go ahead and make changes, halachic changes. But one of the changes that he suggested, Tachanun should not be said, why not? So I heard from him, and from Abaron Soloveitchik, Zechasag Debracha, his younger brother, in 1966. I used to follow him around. I was in high school, I was in MTA, I think I explained earlier. But I used to take off from my Rabbeim, I didn't like the Rabbeim I had. And I would go to him, Abaron Soloveitchik, he was at Smichashir. I was 14 years old, 15 years old. I liked him a lot. So why should I bother my Rebbe? He may as well get to the top. And so that's what I did. And so Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said that he didn't see a basis for saying Tachanun Yom HaTzimut. Why? Because he said that the Gemara says that Tu B'Av, one of the reasons why we celebrate Tu B'Av, Yom Shenitnu Meite B'Tav L'Kura. Gemara said that that's the time that those that were killed in Beitar were able to be buried. So he said, look what happened to the State of Israel. So many Jews who were refugees, who were displaced, who had no families, were able to find a mokom miflat here in Eretz Yisrael, in the State of Israel. And the State of Israel welcomed all of these people, and it became their home. So on that day, I should say, Tachanun. There are those who question the day itself, because what happened on that day? They declared the state, as opposed to the actual Hatzolah that may have occurred later on. Maybe there's a difference between that day and Yom Yerushalayim. Okay, yesh b'zeh makom b'chalek, but I'm not talking about the halachic issues now. I'm just talking about the obligation of Hakaras HaTov. I want to just read to you from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, one of my favorite svarim, the Kuzari. I assume that some of you may have looked at the Kuzari, or studied it a little bit. It's a worthwhile saver. There's an excellent English translation of Kuzari by a Rav from Toronto. Beautiful translation. I think it's the best translation that I've seen. You're familiar with it? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody? So Kuzari writes at one point, people who say, we ask Hashem, we want to see Tzion. Do they really want to see Tzion? They're in Flatbush, in some cheek restaurant, or maybe they're in that five-town place. What is it called again? I can't remember the names. I went to a Shevet Brachas there once. It's right on the main drag, on Central, or one of those places. Let's give you a name of some restaurant. Not Doggies in Teaneck, but that's what I call it, Doggies. Anyway, so I've got the name of the restaurant. It's on the main drag near Hafter.
Chosen Island,
thank you. Oh, Hashem. So those guys there are saying, while they're eating their steak dinners in Chosen Island. What do they mean when they say what they mean? They said, I'll tell you what they mean. Ketzitzuf Hazazir. They don't even know what the heck they're saying. It's like the chattering of the starling and the nightingale. Just a bunch of birds chirping. They don't have a clue what they're saying. Nor do they mean what they're saying. Yeah, let the other guy make aliyah. I like Chosen Island. I like my steak dinner. I like it well done. I remember I used to walk with Rabbi Michal Marks, the executive director of our yeshiva, was killed several years ago in a terrorist attack. He's an Israeli. He used to walk with me in Manhattan because it's easier to walk in Manhattan than you know what it's like over there. Driving, forget about it. And every Dalai Lama's we saw another eatery. He said, what the heck do they do here all day and all night? I said, they eat. What else do they do? Isn't that what they're supposed to do? Isn't that what a Jew's supposed to do? Is that the Bereshis Bara Elokim? Lechol. What other reason did he create us? To stuff ourselves with a good steak dinner. Where's the beef? That's what America's all about. Where's the beef? So that's what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi talks about. Al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. So somehow, when a child is born, we're zochet to a daughter, to a son, someone becomes engaged, a son, a daughter. At a birthday party, we make a kiddush. We thank Hashem. You know, people in the United States, they go to shul for two reasons, Kaddish and Kiddush. No other reason. Why else would I go to shul? Daven? What's that? What should we daven? The main thing is the Kiddush. Would you not say so? Oh, Hashem. So somehow that is critical. But to recognize the Yad Hashem, the divine providence in establishing the state of Israel, which is an act of monumental chesed on the part of Hashem, not just for Shoah refugees, but for all of us, for every single Jew. We can hold our heads up high because of the founding of the state of Israel. There's no question in my mind. Now, it's true that there are anti-religious people living in the country, and sometimes we have a government that's not ideal in many, many respects. But I want to share with you something that I heard first from Hagoyim Avraham Halevi Soloveitchik in 1966. And generally speaking, I tend to take notes on everything. I'm not joking. And I didn't have a computer, I'm sorry to say. So Avraham Halevi Soloveitchik in 1966, and some of it was published actually, mentioned the following very significant argument that many people raise. Since the state was founded by non-observant Jews and it culminated in the establishment of the state, how can that be of any historical significance? Someone this week told me, someone was a Baal Tshuva, became very, very frum, very, very Haredi, and I'm not against the Haredi world, Chas V'Shalom. God forbid, I'm not against anyone. He told me that, and he's a Baal Tshuva for about 2 years, and he lives here. He said, the state consists of Rishoyim, he told me last night. Wicked people! So I said, what are you living here for? Move back to Borough Park! He got very upset with me, as you can imagine. I said to him, do you use Israeli currency? He said, of course I do. What else should I do? I said, well, you don't subscribe to the government. It's a wicked government. So why don't you use British shillings? What do they do in Britain these days? Sterling! Sorry. My accent has not yet really improved to such a point. I'm working on it. The English have an advantage over me, you know, because they have 90% accent that they don't do anything else. And 10% is an easy street. I don't got any London accent, so I got to work hard. Condolences to the prince, for the prince. I want to be Menachem you. So let me just. Avraham Soloveitchik Zatzal mentioned the Pesukim in Tanakh. I'll just briefly, because I have to close. I have to be in my shul at 10:08. And I'm going to do that. It's going to require some Kvitz Saderach and perhaps even a Nes. In Melachim Beis, in Perek Zayin, you probably are familiar with the Haftarah, famous, one of the famous Haftarot. There's a terrible famine, and the armies of Syria, I can translate it that way, I think, there's no food, and it was a terrible situation, and it's the Haftarah which we're going to read shortly. Arba Mitzorayim Pesach Hashar, Tazviyah Mitzorah. Four lepers outside the city. By the way, the Rambam writes, who are these four lepers? Anyone know? Gechazi Ubanov. And the Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayos, they were apikursim. They were literally, how do you translate apikursim? Heretics, correct. And they were kept in the city. They faced certain death by starvation. They decided to surrender. And they approached the camp of the armies of Syria. They beheld a miracle. The camp was empty. The Navi describes here their panicky flight. The Syrian soldiers abandoned tents, horses. Everything was left. And they went from tent to tent, grabbing this, grabbing that, as quickly as they went. And they said, this is probably not a proper way to behave, because let's tell the rest of our Jewish brethren, our co-religious, what's going on. And they finally told everyone. So we see, said, both Gedolei Yisrael, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, we see that it's possible the deliverance of Shomron was carried out through the medium of four lepers, not just physical lepers, spiritual lepers. So one of the arguments is that who founded the state of Israel? People who are not so observant, not so religious, anti-religious. So Rav Soloveitchik quoted Rabaran, quoted a pasuk in Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Dalet, Sukim Chav Gimel to Chav Zayin. I'm going to end with this. The Navi speaks about Yeravim ben Yoash, who was like Yeravim ben Nevat, a Russian Marusha, Bayasara b'ini Hashem, lo sor mikol chatos Yeravim ben Nevat, ha-shayach li Yisrael. And yet, the Navi says he was able to somehow expand the borders of Klal Yisrael, unbelievably. I believe the Yerushalmi and Shriyas has a machlokes, what the expansion was exactly. Whether it was everything Yeshua conquered, he was able to restore. The other one says it's even greater than that of Yeshua. So the question is, why? Why would Hashem give such a Russia, such a wicked person, the ability to save Klal Yisrael? And look what he did, expand all of his borders. And the Navi answers the question himself. Ki ro Hashem es ami Yisrael, mara ma'od. Hashem saw that our situation was absolutely bleak. Ve'efes atur, ve'efes azuv, ve'ein ozer li'Yisrael, and decided, I have no choice but to save Klal Yisrael. After the Holocaust, our situation was very bleak. It was one of terrible desolation. Jews were scattered, Jews were in DP camps, Jews were displaced, Jews were completely at the end of their, almost at the end of their existence. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is incredible chesed. And this I heard from Hagoyim Rapam Zatzal a number of times. Often we find after Midas Adin, then Hashem blesses us with Midas HaRachamim, Midas HaChesed. So to my mind, the chesed of the founding of the state is so overwhelming and so beneficent on the part of Hashem Yisbarach, we are obligated in Hakaras HaTov. Now I'm not saying everyone should go immediately, and as I said, I described four different approaches. I think the approach, the middle approach, is the one that I've generally tended to follow. And that's the approach I'm suggesting to you. Let's be makir tov to Hashem for all the chassanim that he does. Let's realize this is a yom hodoya. One can certainly have a sudas hodoya, thank Hashem, say divrei Torah, say shir v'shevach. So the yisod of all the above that I spoke about today is hakaras hatov. Most fundamental of all midos, to be grateful and thank Hashem for everything that he's given us. Halavai Hashem should continue to give us much bracha v'atzlacha to each one of you individually, collectively, to all of Klal Yisrael, to the state of Israel, to all of us living in Eretz Yisrael. And my only wish is that, halavai, all of you, every single one of you in this classroom, Sfaradim and Ashkenazim alike, I hope you don't mind, should join me and come to Eretz Yisrael. And Bli Neder, if you come, I will meet you at the airport. And it won't be Corona, and I'll hug you and kiss you, unquestionably. Because what you're doing is, you are balanced, wonderful, intelligent, highly intelligent, sentient people who contribute so much to us here in Eretz Yisrael, and for that, we're makir tov as well.